This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tessa Vigeland.
And now time for your letters. We'll call that perhaps food for thought in this segment. I'm joined by our senior producer, Patty Hirsch, and our very good friend, David Lazarus. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Tess.
Anybody bring cookies? We're talking about food.
Oh, I didn't know that we had to BYOC.
I brought cookies, but I ate them on the way in.
Oh,
sorry.
You would.
No.
You would, yeah.
You didn't share with the whole class.
I'm selfish. What can you say?
I'm just glad to be here because my understanding is there's like some news of import hanging over our heads right now.
Really?
In a Damoclean fashion.
Oh, what is that?
We're not going to be able to do this together much anymore, you and me.
Oh, no, we're not. In fact, this is probably our last moment together.
Oh, stab me again, Tess.
I'm sorry.
Do I need to clarify for the listeners what's going on here?
I think so, because I'm too broken up.
All right, so the word has been out in the Twitter sphere and the face place for several weeks now, but we may as well broadcast it today, Tess.
I will be leaving Marketplace. This is my fourth to last show, so three more.
11 years.
That's a lot of personal finance, yes.
Yeah, and, you betcha.
At this point, I wish that I had taken more of my own advice.
I suppose so. And you are sorely going to be missed around
here. Oh, thank you, David. I appreciate that. I'm going to miss our listeners more than I can say.
We'll just have a moment of silence here.
Yeah, I know. If that doesn't put a pall of gloom over the show, I don't know what will.
All right, well, in that case, let me cheer things up a little bit.
Yeah, why don't you?
Some listener letters, maybe.
I would love that.
Okay. So many listeners wrote in to comment on our segment on genetically modified foods and the dangers of GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, they wanted us to point out that testing on GMOs is still going on.
And indeed it is.
Right. Watch the space on your Doritos packaging for details.
Oh, no.
At least here in California.
Speaking of spaces, we had a lot of comments about tattoos. Some people love them. Some people hate them. Where do you stand on tattoos, David?
I'm just not a big body art kind of guy.
No.
You only get one set of skin, and I just don't want to mess with it.
And of course, what we were talking about last week was the effect that it can have on your employment potential. So.
And I know a lot of people with tattoos who come to rue the day.
Yep.
But a lot of people wrote in to say, to give advice about how to deal with tattoos. But David, who wrote in from West Lynn, Oregon, to comment.
That's my hometown.
That's your hometown?
That is my hometown. That is where I grew up.
Well, David wrote
Hi,
in
David.
From Tessa's hometown. His advice, never get a tattoo where the judge can see it.
Oh, that's good advice.
I like that.
That's good advice.
I like that.
All right. Couple of questions for you, Tess. Linda from New York wrote in. She said that she's looking for a debt counseling service.
Okay. Credit counselors. Okay.
Credit counselors. That's the National Foundation for Credit Counselors.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yes. Okay. That's where you go to find a good...
Accredited
yeah. credit counselor who can help you, hopefully, with a debt situation. Right.
There's a lot of fly-by-night types with that kind of thing out there, and the smart play is to go with the accredited ones and don't pay money up front for this sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so we'll have that link on the website for you. And Joan from St. Paul wrote in, she wants the name of the fee-only financial planning association that Jill Schlesinger recommended a few weeks back.
If I remember correctly, that was the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, NAPFA. That's NAPFA.
And now some questions for David. We had several letters asking about avoiding the deluge of credit card applications that anyone with a half-decent credit score seems to get these days.
Mm.
How can you avoid this stuff?
The best way is you go to, now write this down, kids, www.optoutprescreen.com.
Oh, dear Lord.
That optoutprescreen.com, that is the service. It's the one-stop shopping service offered by all the credit agencies.
Okay.
And if you go there, you can sign up both for a 5-year opt-out and a permanent opt-out from receiving any credit card solicitations. But heads up, you're going to have to give your Social Security number to do this.
Mm.
This is one of those rare occasions where I would say it's worth it. Normally, I would say you don't give your social to anybody. But if you're like me, you don't want to receive these solicitations. I have found this to be helpful.
That's good. All right. Well, that's great information. Thanks, David. We'll have all of that on the website. Another question for you. Jeffrey from Maine wants to get his son, who's a high school senior, a credit card. But it seems really hard to do this because while banks seem keen to offer college students cards, they don't seem to offer the same kind of credit building opportunities to high schoolers. Any ideas?
Yeah, this is a great question, too, because it really addresses the at what point do you want to introduce your kid to the world of credit?
In fact, we've actually talked in the past. We've talked with people who wanted to sign up their 2-year-olds. Yeah.
Too young. That's a red flag. But teenage years, I mean, you got a handful of choices here. And the first one is obviously a prepaid card. It's kind of like a debit card.
Right.
Not a bad choice. Not a great way to build up a credit history, however,
right.
because it's not going to really do anything for you there, although you do have more controls. Another choice is you can do a joint account. Essentially, you're going to be the cosigner for your kid. And that's not a bad choice because you can get a card with a low credit limit, so you have some controls. Also, it allows Junior to build up some credit history doing this. Mm-hmm. The trick is when and if your young one gets into some trouble, do you bail that person out? And I would say no. One of the things here of the learning experience is teach them how to deal with a financial mess on their own. That's part of the thing. So that's what a joint account is good for. And then your other option is you can make your teen an authorized user on your card. And that's a possibility as well. Now, that puts your credit record on the line because if your teen starts becoming a scofflaw when it comes to plastic, that's your FICO score now.
Right.
That's going to take a beating. On the other hand, it's the fastest way to get a kid into the world of credit. And if you've got a rewards program with your card, your teen's spending is your reward.
Right.
Just a little something.
For better or worse, right.
And it seems to me that don't let your teenager become a scofflaw. I mean, start talking about how credit cards work and what it can mean for them down the line if they don't pay on time and if they go over limits. I mean, it should all be a conversation that's going on, well, far in advance of getting the credit card, but certainly at that point.
I agree. And every time you get the statement as well, that's a teachable moment.
Education. Talk about this stuff, people.
Have you ever considered a career in radio doing this kind of thing, Tess?
No, you think I'd be any good at it?
You're awfully good at it.
Well, thank you, David.
You
I
might
really
want to think on
it,
you know, just kind of a,
okay.
You got a future, is
okay.
what I'm saying.
I'll talk to a career counselor.
But I'm going to break this up now. Okay, it's enough of this love fest. We're out of time here. David, thanks very much for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you, Patty.
It's always a pleasure, Tess. Thank you.